Hey.
Hey, DJ KTE. Good night.
What's
night,
the
everyone?
Hey.
How are you, DJ KTE?
I am doing fantabulous. That's fantastic.
Awesome. That's awesome. What was your weekend like? Tell me about your weekend.
Man, my weekend was actually it went by real quick.
Wow.
But very eventful. Mm-hmm. Was good. Spent some time with my big boy, you know. The teen now, so he's a grown man.
Wow.
That was pretty cool. Nice. But, you know, I have great weekends. You know, I have very steady weekends. So, again, thankful, you know? How about yours?
That's absolutely awesome. My weekend was phenomenal, of course.
Okay.
We had weekends with Marsha J and Jesse, for those of you who are watching.
Oh, yeah, that was a great show.
It's Marsha J.
That was a great
we
show.
Had an absolutely fantastic episode, yeah. You know, just going through the episode itself, we spoke about Governor Cuomo and the allegations that were against him and how he defended himself, and
Davion, forgot his name, I want to butcher his name now, but from the Green Bay Packers, man, this football player. Really good. Remember?
Yes. We did Voice of Truth where we had, and you were part of the panel, right?
Yes.
You joined us on our show. Exactly.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Where we discussed our successful black women targeted in mainstream media. You know, very intriguing discussion.
Yes, it was.
Different points of views about these different public icons and what they've been going through. Very interesting discussion.
Yeah, Simone. Yeah, talk about Simone. Yeah, it was good.
Definitely. And inside of Because We Can, we had Toastmasters. They were here.
Oh, it was fun too.
Mr. McAllister. Definitely humorous, but definitely informative.
Yeah.
And we had, of course,
DeAndre. That was his name? His name was DeAndre?
Yes.
Was that his name?
Yes.
John J. Burrell. Yeah. Green Bay Packers.
He was on. We had quite a big panel for the first. It was actually our first panel for weekends. And so I think it's something that we should do more often.
I think so. It was kind of cool. Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
And different, you know? Yeah.
Yes, for sure. Mm. On top of that, I got to hang out with you today.
Yeah. Listen, you know what? I'll tell you something. It's always a pleasure. A couple of times, you know, when we had the technical stuff, you always were there to kind of step in and make it happen. So, yes, indeed, we're happy to have you here, filling for our amazing Lady Misty.
Yes,
you're really helping us tonight with her, because she's going through some stuff and she's a little bit under the weather. But we got to make sure keep her in prayer and her family in prayer.
Just want to pause to say we love you, Lady Misty.
Yeah, we love you.
miss you. And I
already
I can fill her shoe. Just let's just put that out there.
There's only one lady missed, yeah. Only one lady Misty in the house.
Only one.
Yeah.
So sending love and affection to Lady Misty.
Yes.
And our in-house husband, Shane Haslow.
Yes, we're praying for you.
Get well soon. Definitely looking forward to it. And you know, along with that, if you are with us tonight, if you're listening or you are watching and you're not doing well, we pray that God will just give you a speedy recovery and you will have
a testimony. We pray your strength awesome
mercies. Yeah,
in the Lord. Strength. Yes.
Definitely. So with that being said,
here we go now.
We want to welcome everyone to Let's Talk Relationship podcast, where we explore dynamics and the evolution of relationships. We identify challenges, offer perspectives through transformational conversations to inspire positive relationship outcomes. So this show has evolved into a highly interactive source of inspiration for an engaged audience. And this we know. They are heavily influenced by the discussion. And of course, we try to bring in experts and thought leaders to help couples successfully navigate their relationship challenges, right? But before we get deep into the topic tonight, we just want to say a big thank you, right, Keith?
Yes, we do. Always do.
Yeah.
Yes.
We want to say a big thank you to our partners and our supporters, listeners, and viewers, wherever you are. It is our hope that this show can be a source of empowering information for you, a place where you can come to challenge your own thinking, and a safe space to address issues that affect our families. If you need advice or answers to a question to help you grow in your relationship, so we encourage you to send us a comment or send us an email via ltranswers@gmail.com, because it is our hope that this program will be a support to you to help you build and maintain a strong, healthy, loving, divine relationship. So cheers to love and happiness. On UME Radio. So my name is Marcia from Marcia J and Jesse, sitting in tonight for the lovely Lady Misty. And I am here with my amazing host,
DJ KTE.
All right.
Rock and roll. It's August 9th, 2021.
Yes, it is.
And the theme tonight is the time is now to be exact. It is 9 oh what? Tell me. There you go. 9:07. We're gonna go to heaven. There we go. 9:07. That's how we do it. And we're looking to have a great time tonight. Again, you know, it's been very, very exciting journey over the last, I would say, year and a half or so, and all the emails you've gotten from the different viewers and, you know, also our supporters, and lives who have been touched and transformed, and we've received encouragements, and boy, a lot of very active and engaged sessions and segments and audiences. So we are excited that there is an impact that's taking place here on LTR, and I'm loving it. So folks, feel free to get your questions, get your pens and paper, write the questions down, and you know, give us a little thumbs up here that you're there, and hopefully we can get to your questions. If we don't, please don't take it serious. We are trying to do our best to answer your questions. If you have any ideas for shows, send it in so we can look at it and probably have a discussion about it. So, hey, we are one big family, and we're hoping that we can just empower each other with this show.
Awesome. And just in case you want to listen to this program anytime in the future, so here are some ways where you can listen to us. First of all, at umeradio.com, if you do not yet have the app. Our app is amazing. It has been updated. So
if
you're a person that's on the go, you really need to get it. So it's app.umeradio.com. So again, download UME Radio and stay updated on all our events via our app. So it's app.umeradio.com. And of course, we can be heard on quite a few other platforms, Keith.
Yeah, right? Of course. And again, if you go to the App Store, Play Store, you know, type in the letter, the word UME Radio, the UME R-A-D-I-O, one word, mm-hmm. you can get it on your Google or your Play Store.
Definitely. We can also be heard on iTunes Podcast, Google Play, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. We said Google Podcast, yes, Podbean, TuneU, Live 365, Spotify, Stitcher, and Player FM.
Yes, right? Indeed.
Yes, yes, yes. Discussion. Guys, let us know where you are tuning in from. So we can give you definitely a shout out. And we know that we have listeners in how many countries, Keith? By now, we've grown.
120 something, I believe. I believe in growing.
We have grown and we are still growing. And of course, we give God all the praise for that. So let us know where you are tuning in from this evening so we can give you a shout out, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to talk about Erica, Mina, and Safari.
Uh-oh. It's interesting.
Erica, Mina, Safari. So, in divorce documents reportedly obtained by E! News, the entertainment station reported that Erica Mina labeled her marriage to Safari as being irretrievably broken. So the young couple, who have been married for less than 2 years, recently welcomed their second child. Right? So in an Instagram post by Mrs. Samuels, she stated, and I quote, "There's been mistakes made immaturely, but a marriage is a marriage." She continued to say, "And unfortunately, there's been mishaps. In any marriage, stuff happens. When you're in public, when you're in the public eye, my husband and I have both realized that things should be kept in." So in a lot of cases, we look at public couples and relationships and we make assumptions, don't we?
We often do.
Yeah. We make conclusions, we make judgments, as to say that is what a relationship, quote unquote, should look like.
True.
And when they seemingly fail, we get caught up in our own feelings. However, what does an authentic relationship look like for real? Is it what we see in the media? Is it what we see in the movies, churches, or even in the streets? We have some experienced and informed and delightful guests joining the panel tonight to help us dissect the topic, authentic relationships. What do they look like for real?
Let's talk
relationships on UME Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
UME Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7.
Subscribe on YouTube and click the notification bell.
All right. So we have some comments in about the Erica, Mina, and Safari story. And I'm just going to the comments right now. So we have Pamela Eisen saying, I am behind a man demanding to be equally involved in his children's life. Justin Cook says, why Erica don't want him to have 50-50 when she's always said he's a good dad? It's the one and only Maria. She says, you can tell he's sweet. He always gave her good vibes. God's Beauty says, Safari is just allowing himself to get used by Erica. She divorced him to get a lump sum. Queen Snipes says, my question is, why have full custody of these kids and not her oldest? The brothers, oh, that bothers me till this day. Another comment, SP says, Safari is being fair. I fully support him. He's even letting her keep the house so the babies have stability. Why can't they have joint custody? She wants him to pay child support. Kathleen Rivera says, is the relationship real on any level? And with that being said, we have some exciting guests here this evening. First, we would like to introduce...
Bring them on in.
Yes, we would like to introduce...
Check your mic, Marcia T. I think you're muted.
Yes.
Check your mic.
Can you hear me now? Let me know if you're hearing me.
Check your mic.
Yes.
Can't hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay.
We can hear her.
Pretty frank.
Okay. Great. So I'll continue.
Yes.
As much as I can. All right.
Go right ahead. You're good now.
Yes. We have with us this evening Mr. and Mrs. Andrew and Donnet Norman. They are trained teachers, guidance counselors, and marriage officers. They were ordained in 1997 at Bible Teachers International, presidents and founders of Passion and Purity, Marriage is Honorable, Christian Teachers in Action, Eternal Church of Jesus Christ, The Record. We also have...
Welcome.
Yes, welcome. Welcome to the panel. We have with us Mr. and Mrs. Green, and they are a lovely couple out of Ocherius, Jamaica.
Wow. Is it not where you are? I can't see your face, but it's night. Is it a little dark? They can't see you.
Yes.
Can you make it brighter? And any is that possible to make it brighter where you are?
Mrs. Green, we're going to ask you to unmute as well, just in case.
Yeah.
All right. And we have coming in a little later, Coach Raquel, right? But just to introduce her before she comes in, she's a proven strategist and a beneficiary of the eCornell Bank of America Women's Entrepreneurship at Cornell University, where she completed her certification in entrepreneurship. And she is also a certified coach. As a child, Coach endured the countless challenges of poverty firsthand, which ultimately shaped her into the compassionate, courageous individual she is today. Mm-hmm. And in overcoming such hardships, she has become adept at helping others avoid these and other pitfalls of career and life to step into the best version of themselves. Welcome, everyone. Welcome.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Yes. How are you this evening, though? I'm going to ask you to all unmute so we can have a conversation.
Yeah. Unmute your phone if you can, so we can, dialogue here.
All right.
If you can hear us, wave your hands. If you can hear, us? There we go.
Awesome.
Green to the green, so can you hear us? We can't hear you, though. Can you unmute your mic if you can?
In the meantime, though, let's start off with a definition.
There we go. Thank you.
Can you hear?
I'm mute again. You just came off mute and went back on again. Just kind of come off mute so we can hear your voice again. There we go. Perfect.
All right.
You're not staying on.
Oh, you're not staying on. Oh, that's interesting.
Staying on.
Not sure.
My mic is not staying on.
Maybe you want to. Let's see what we can do.
All right, that's good enough. All right, so Satin Brownie is chiming in. She says, I think we see these publicized stories and assume It is what the relationship truly is like. Thank you, Saturn, for that. And I believe I saw Lamoy Suki Rowe. Hey, Lamoy, welcome Suki. Back. Arlene Jarrett. Hi, Arlene. Listening from Jamaica. So awesome to have you.
Big up. Yes.
Saturn says, gorgeous. You both look so lovely. Yes, yeah. I'm trying to do justice. But thank you so much. But can we start this conversation this evening with a definition of who an authentic person is? And I want to start with the Normans. In your mind, from your experience, who is an authentic person?
Marcia J, before we begin, I think the Greens, maybe you can maybe log out and log back in. Maybe that may change something, the setting, because if you are muted, we won't be able to hear you, and that won't be cool. So maybe you can probably log out or leave the page and come back in again, and that might work for you. Yeah, of course, it is showing that your mic is muted.
Okay, they may have to log out and log back in.
Yeah, so say we log out the page, leave the page, and right, and come back in. All right, continue. Sorry about that.
Yes, so we were asking definition of authentic.
Okay, can you hear us?
Yes.
Loud and clear.
Oh, great. Okay, so Andrew Norman here. Well, in my mind, an authentic person is someone who is a person of integrity. In other words, the same person that you see in public is the same person in private.
Okay. Okay.
Someone who's just real.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Real.
Christ is real to me. I love him.
Keith, what's your definition of authentic?
That's not saying on a call. I don't know what happened to my name.
I think you're on now. I think I can hear you. So keep talking. Sorry. Yeah, I think you're on. Oh, she's gone again.
Okay. All right. Until they come back, let's continue the conversation, Keith. What's your definition of an authentic person?
Wow, that's a big question. Well, you know, when I hear the word authentic, I think of something called secrecy and privacy. Mm. Those two words come to my mind. You know, there's something called secrecy, which can be unhealthy. There's something called privacy. You don't need to know my business. You know what I mean? But I'm going to tell you anyhow. But when I think of the word authentic, I think of someone who can be themselves wherever they are, whether they're in a public setting or whether they're with family or whether they're with an audience that they don't know, they can be themselves. You know, it's funny because Paul says, when I go to a particular place, I become so I can win all men to Christ. So he showed time when he modified or he would change some of his approach for the greater good. So he wasn't trying not to be real. So it might be seem as if he wasn't being real, but he was making a specific action or doing a specific thing to gain a particular objective. So I think for different people, it authentic means differently and different degrees. But you know in your heart when you've been authentic, I believe. And I think that's the knowing that's important, that I'm being real and it's what it is, whether you believe it or not, I'm being authentic. So it's very personal too to me as well.
Awesome. We have Lamoy Suki Rowe. She says, authentic persons are those who do not live pretentious. They show you who they are and they are genuinely themselves. Thank you so much for that, Lamoy. And of course, my thoughts is when what we feel, think, and do is incongruence. That's when we become authentic. And then when we look at authentic, we think about not just authentic in terms of a marriage, but we have working relationships, we have authentic friendships. For instance, David and Jonathan, for those who are watching and you read your Bibles, you know, things like that. But let me turn my attention to Mr. and Mrs. Norman. How did you know, and I'm talking about your relationship, a couple, what made you thought the other person was authentic enough to make a lifelong commitment?
There you go.
Okay, thank you. What was the question again? We were trying to unmute.
Oh, okay. No problem. I was asking, in your relationship coming up to marriage, what made you choose each other? What did you see in each other that made you in terms of
I know what he saw. Okay. I know what he saw. Yeah. You're right. Okay.
Well, for me, that's really very simple.
I'm sorry, before you continue, how long have you been married?
Since a couple of years.
31 years.
Oh, wait, couple of years. He said 31 years, and he said, you know what? Yeah, okay, all right. I'm listening very close.
Yeah.
Welcome, but, coach. We have coach coming in the room. Let me just kind of pause to acknowledge her before you continue, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Go ahead.
You're welcome.
Sir.
Thank you. Hi, LB Creations, Creative Designs.
Good yes, he's back too. This week. Hi, LB.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes. For me, it was very simple. My wife, Donnet, is very. Okay.
I can hear you.
We're getting some charging.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think I just liked her simplicity. She was very simplistic toward the way she dealt with life. You know, she didn't have a lot of flares. Mm-hmm. And I just love that about her. She was just, you know, what you see is what you get.
But I do have a question for you, though. I have a question for you, sir. Because I'm seeing two very happy, stable, longevity couple here that looking real contented and blessed and just, you know, we made it happen. You know what I mean? We won the prize. So here's my question, sir. I'm the lady as well. So, you know, this thing called dating or courting, right? You know, in our culture, we try to put the best foot forward. We don't pass gas in front of each other, make sure our breath is always smelling. You know, we don't make sure our arm is, you know, we good. And so that phase of relation or relating, how would you compare that? Because you've had to, you know, make sure that you are right. Your haircut was fine, you know what I mean, you were always feeling good. To being married now, you're in the same bed, you wake up in the morning, you know, you're feeling lazy that morning, you know, just probably sitting with your socks on and the shoes, you know, the smelly. How do you compare that real part of the dating to now being married and just, hey, let it all go. We're here. You pass gas, you know, those real things.
Well, she taught me how to be vulnerable. I, you know, I was vulnerable to some extent, but to have somebody this close, it was a little uncomfortable for me. Like, So, but she was like I said, just very, very simplistic, and she's a very good storyteller. And not just storytellers in telling lies, but like she would talk about like real life events, and it would just be so enriching. And so she, you know, she's just very good at being real with life, you know. So that really helped me to open up, you know, because we know in marital union there is the sex and all of that, you know.
Yes.
So it was easier for me to be naked physically than it was to be naked emotionally.
But really? She made
me like that. Yeah.
Wow. That's a great woman. Great. That's awesome. So to you, the lady, how would you?
To the first question, what I saw in him was,
yes.
I think I had one of the best fathers in the world, and I prayed as a little girl that God would send someone like my father in my life. And he came with the same fear of God.
Okay. All right.
Love me unconditional. So it was easy.
Nice.
To fall in love with him and to grow with him. So it's been a wonderful experience. He's my best friend.
Nice.
We talk all the time.
That's
always.
Good.
Right.
Understood. Thank you so much for that. I actually admire couples who can be really authentic. Just going back to the story that we started with earlier, with that couple that has been married for approximately 2 years, and then they call it quits, you know, and it lends to ask itself, relationships like yours, Mr. and Mrs. Norman, that has lasted for 30-something years versus a relationship that has lasted for 2 years, it makes you wonder, you know, what about the relationship? Where does authenticity start? Let me ask you that. But I wanna throw that question to Coach. Hello, Coach. Thank you so much for being here. Let me know if you can hear us.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, hi. What was the question?
The question was, where does authenticity start?
You know, I think we're all existing in some form of reality, right? Some form of our own reality. And I think that reality is the story that we sell ourselves and tell others. That story that we sell to ourselves and share to others. So I think, because for me, I think even in a lie, you're being yourself. You're speaking your truth, whether you buy that story you're selling or not. So I really think authenticity starts with the person, no matter what you think of yourself. But what happens, I think, is when we meet other people who are true to themselves, not just people who are telling themselves stories, but people who are true to themselves, then sometimes when, because I believe that authenticity recognizes authenticity as well as it recognizes lies. And so I think when the two collide, when truth collide with what isn't true, right? I think that is where sometimes we find disconnect. Mm-hmm. I'm very inspired by the story that I just heard from the Normans. He said something that's so important. She kept it simple. I think some of us have a hard time keeping it simple, and sometimes that's what makes things more complicated.
Women keep it simple. Women keep it simple.
Yes, so that's my thought. I think authenticity begins with the person, but it's when it gets exposed, you know, that sometimes the lies you sell yourself, the stories you sell to yourself, doesn't necessarily settle with the public, and then it collides.
So Coach.
Yes.
I like what you're saying. I mean, how do you, or anyone can address this, how do you differentiate being authentic and coping and being smart? For instance, you have a woman who's married. She goes to the job and she really feels like, you know, right now my hormonally I'm out of whack. I want to strangle somebody. You know, it could be time of the month where she's going through that emotional roller coaster. And so the boss is getting on the nerves, but she holds it together. She's like, yes, boss, yes, sir, I'll get it for you. And she holds it down real good for 8 hours. Then she comes home to the guy who's just had a hard day's work, and he probably needs some little restoration himself, looking for some words of comfort and tenderness, and then she goes crazy on him. I'm being real. That's what I feel right now. So what's different? How would you quantify someone who is just, you know, playing the game right, or doing what you're supposed to do to maintain, opposed to just being home and just, hey, whatever it is, because people do it all the time. You know, how would you address that?
Is that question for me?
Everyone, you and the Normans.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, like I said, I believe that everyone is doing we're being our truth, no matter what that is, right? Uh-huh. Because I believe there is God's truth, mm-hmm, and then there's our truth. Right? Mm-hmm. In the story you just shared with me, it doesn't, authenticity is when what you feel, what you think, and what you do is in complete congruence, when it's harmonizing. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's one way or the other, as long as, so for example, we in different spaces and in different places, we sometimes put on different faces. I'm not trying to rhyme or anything, but
we're
called to be different things at different time. And I guess this is why this question for the night is so crucial, I think, for me, because what is authenticity? Mm-hmm. And when we speak about authenticity, are we really prepared to receive authenticity? Do we really want it? Really, really? Do we really want the truth, right? Because we perceive, once we sense something, then we process that thing. The awareness wheel says you go through, I sense, then I think, right? And at your thinking is where you're starting to add meanings to things. So you now have to ask yourself, when I say or do something, then that's something that I've done or said is not going to be impacted by you. So whose authentic experience are we referencing in this moment? So I don't necessarily, when you say, let's say I'm at work, I'm in the conscious that I'm with my boss. I'm in the consciousness that I don't want to lose my job. I'm in the consciousness of there are things happening in this moment in time, but I have to keep it together. And for me, that is authentic because it's truly how I'm feeling. I'm feeling like I need to protect myself. I'm acting in accordance to protect myself. And I'm thinking I better not say anything because I've got to protect my job. So that is not necessarily being inauthentic. When I come home, I'm in my safe zone, I hope, you know? And when I heard the couple spoke just now, I was inspired because, you know, she felt safe. She could be herself. There was an enabling environment for her to truly be. When I get home, I would like to think that at home, I can be myself. And so I'm no longer at work, so I'm no longer feeling unsafe. I'm no longer feeling I need to protect myself. So when I get home and I'm expressing myself, it doesn't mean that I've lost authenticity. I'm just having two different experiences in two different places with different people. So that's how I see it. But we really have to ask ourselves, do we really want authenticity from people? Do we really? So that's
a very good question. That's a very good question. In what spaces, in any space, we can be authentic, but does it mean that there are layers to authenticity then? So to speak, are there really layers? And you brought out something very important to coach. Can we handle the truth? Because we want people to be authentic with us, but do we really? Because I don't think sometimes that we've really stopped to really sit in what a person may say, especially if it comes on to an assessment about us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have those conversations. You know, whether it's in a relationship, am I pleasing you? Or if it's at the workplace, am I performing well? Or if it's even a best friend scenario, you know? And we choose, and you know what's funny? What I find funny is that persons who we claim, quote unquote, they speak their minds, tend to be even more authentic than the rest, but yet still, these are the persons sometimes that come off as offensive to us, and so we withdraw. I don't think we readily sit down and say, okay, what if, just for a moment, what if what they are saying is actually true? You know, how am I receiving that?
So that's a great point, Martha J. Mr. Norman, you said earlier, and I'd like to maybe put some more meat on this and pack it a little more for us. You said something about to the point that emotionally you it was harder for you to be naked. Was that because of your past, because of maybe some traumas you've gone through in your past, or what you've seen your dad did do or didn't do or men in your life? How would you address that?
Good question. I'm not sure I have the correct answer for that, but I think it probably is something that's kind of more, I think us males probably have a little bit more issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
because we tend to process a lot before we express.
Okay.
Generally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because I grew up with a dad who loved his family and cared for his family, and you know,
okay.
was a great provider. Church man, and just really, you know, very predictable. But some things that you probably would want to hear from your dad, like son, great job, or son, I'm proud of you, or son, I love you. Those words were not heard in my ear.
Okay.
At all. So as I became a dad myself, I changed the whole script. I'm always saying I love you. I'm always affirming and always, you know, doing those things. So I think that sometimes, as you said about not understanding why you may have been that way, but what were things that she did? You can give some examples to say, wow, that's a breath of fresh air. That works for me to actually make you open up. Give me some examples so we can maybe, because people listen, they want to learn something tonight from you. You never know. I mean, 31 years, it's a really great thing. It's a great feat and admirable. So we got folks listening and want to know what this young man is looking so happy and so fresh. And so,
I know, he looks so really happy too.
And she's like, I'm just chilling.
Both, you know, of them. Yes, yeah, I love it. This part is
just amazing. So give us some examples of how it works for you.
Well,
maybe I should have her say, because she seems to be a little more daring to me. So she'll go there. I think she'll go there. So maybe I can hear from her. What did you do to make him?
Well, it was easy in the sense that both of us are Christians and we are really committed to the Lord. And so we prayed a lot together and we shared a lot together. As I said, we talk and talk and talk. So we learned to speak the truth in love early. Okay. We learned to hold short accounts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who's going to get it out of you. We are not going to.
Okay,
angry. I'm going to open your eyelids.
That's it. Open your eyelids. That's it. Yes. Love it. Love it.
It.
Yes.
I'm not going to bed tonight without talking. No, we're not.
That's one. Yeah.
I know, for example, how to make him happy in terms of I'll get him what he likes to eat best.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm his friend. I seek to make him happy. So while he's laughing and it just opens up.
I want to also say that I think the way we actually, you mentioned dating and courting earlier.
Uh-huh.
I think I probably saw it more as courting, because I just went for the juggler.
Okay.
I just popped the question. But I think the way we did a lot of the early, we did a lot of group things together, like us, me and her, and some of our very close friends. We went out a lot together. So I couldn't really hide the real me too much, and she couldn't, you know, because my friends we are with our friends, right? So they would say, look at that, you know, to me and to her. Yeah, so that helped too.
Nice.
A lot of, right. Because for the first couple of years of courting, I was working on a cruise ship. So when I came home, we took a lot of group things together, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. I believe I saw guests show up there. That's the Greens. Can you hear us? Can you hear us from where you are?
Mrs. Green, let us know if
Can you hear us? Ms. Green?
I can hear you.
Go. Good. Okay, Ms. Green.
Yes, I can hear you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you doing tonight?
Thank you. We're good.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Well, we've been carrying on here, and we've been talking about authenticity and, you know, and that kind of thing. And we've heard from the Normans, and they've been so brilliant you know, and that's just an inspiration to us already, you know, 31 years of marriage. So what's your story? And what's your thought in being authentic, you know? What's your thought in that?
Okay, well, my thought on it is that, to say that I'm a divorcee, I was divorced before I got married to my husband here, Mr. Green, right?
When I divorced,
I thought I would never do that again. But meeting Mr. Green, yes, and I saw the opportunity to grow in love. I saw the opportunity to reach out and somebody to reach out to me. It's as if all my life I wanted was to, I have so many love and I wanted to give it to somebody who would really in need of it. And I found somebody who is really in need of that love. And so I get to explore my love with this man.
Wow.
And so that is authentic for me.
Wow, Mr. Green, lean me machine. Where is Mr. Green? Is he there with you? Is he there with
you,
Mr. Green?
Right
wow. Mr. Green.
I'm Ian.
Yes, Mr. Green, based on the smile on this lady's face, she's beaming like a...
Okay.
She started beaming me up.
I'm listening.
So I can tell that you're doing a great job because she looks very happy to me. Yes, sir. So how do you define the word being authentic, being real? How do you define that word being authentic and in a relationship?
Oh my. First, I must say, whenever the person are not pretend, there are a lot of men and women that pretending fade away, and then you see the true and the right side of that person.
Wow.
And that is my wife, because she wasn't pretending. And what have happened, we talk a lot, and then we try to meet each other halfway, that mean personal. We just open to each other.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I like that.
That story for him.
Mrs. Green, may I ask you a question? Okay, awesome. So I know.
Go ahead.
When I interviewed you in the green room, I know that when you and Mr. Green decided to get married, he had his sight impaired. How did that make you feel? And did the authenticity change?
I want to tell you, I felt within my spirit that it get better, because when it started, he didn't want to stop working, and I realized something went wrong and was going wrong. And we did pretty good with the doctor, but it didn't just work for us. And I saw where he was going down. For me, even though I'm not a doctor, I realized he was going down in depression, and I catch it very early. So one day I sit him down and I said to him, you know what? I figure what is happening. Do you think I'm going to leave you at this time? And he didn't answer yes or no. But the way he reacted to it, I realized that what was his thought on it. And so I said, we're in this thing together. And whatever it is, we are going to move it. And we are going to run this race with patience. And it will happen within a week or so. My husband was changed by my husband, because he was sort of, laid back. And sometimes he would cuddle up himself and don't want to talk. And that's when I realized that something was going wrong, because he was trying to suppress it. He was trying to figure it out by himself, and I told him that we are in this thing together. And my husband is good. It's as if he doesn't I don't feel like he's blind. Sometimes wow. when he feels wow. like he can't do something, I say, you can do it. Because it's to spread the bed. He has to spread the bed. He has to wash the dishes. And he has to help me to nail something when I want it to nail. I'm not going to ask anybody outside to come and do it while he can do it. Because he's a strong man.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes. So we're in this thing together. And I'm good with
goodness.
It.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I love it.
Wow. Yes.
I absolutely love it.
I would like to ask the couples a question. What is the experience when you feel an experience you're both being your complete self together? What is that experience like? When you know, not when you think it, but when you know it and you can see it and you can feel it, and you can experience it, that yes, this is him being him, his truest self, and I am being my truest self. When that comes together, what is that experience like?
For me, that is very liberating. And I think that I am...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I think it's delay, but she's here. You can go ahead. Continue, Miss. We'll come to you, Mrs.
I didn't know we were talking. Which one about?
Yeah, that's okay. Please proceed, Mr. Norman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for me, that's very liberating, and I feel like I've succeeded as a husband. If my wife can be her real self. And if her real self needs some improvement, then at least I know where she really is to be able to render that kind of help that she needs. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like if she has to pretend around me, then I wouldn't feel very happy about that.
Well, I think that's freedom, and I would say that after freedom for most of my life and most of my marriage, I am just very, very happy. And I say again, I credit my realness, my authenticity, and the reason that I am because of Christ who lives in me, who will just speak loudly to my conscience if I'm trying to be fake and say, you know, that's not real. And I can't live with a conscience that's bothering me, so we gotta get it out in every relationship. If you know me, I'm the same at work, same with my sister, same with my brother, same everywhere. What you see is what you get. It's just being real, and it means freedom.
Wow!
Freedom! Wow! I think the Greens were trying to also answer. You can go ahead, Mrs. Green.
Okay, for me, being myself, it makes me feel free. I'm happy with myself. And because I'm happy with myself, I love when people around me happy. And so I learned my husband. I learn him and I see what I try to know what makes him happy and what does not make him happy. And if there is something that I've been doing and he's, you know, I realize he's not happy about it, well, I discard that, whether, you know, my attitude or anything. But for me, I am real. Whoever, anybody see me, this is me in my home and out of my home. And as I said, it makes me happy. So I like to be real, you know, I like to be real. That's awesome. The thing about that. My authenticity, you know, you just make me feel happy that people around me, especially in my household, because when people around me is not happy, I am not happy. And so I try to be happy, then make who around me be happy.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
I'm really moved by your story. Now, I heard blind. Is he legally blind or is blind, like really? I mean, because it's legal blind, you can see colors and shades and shapes.
Lee, it's blind.
Wow. And he nails. No. And he can nail.
No.
Wow. That's
really, yeah,
that's...
he was a steel person before. He steal up the house, a steel man before. So he worked on houses. So he loves to still nail things and do something. So whenever something's go wrong, and if I'm trying to nail something all by myself, he would get not happy about it. So then we have to do it together. So he loves to hold the nail, and he loves to do the measurement and tell me how much to measure there and how much to measure there and where to. And he would hold the nail first and start to, you know. So whatever we do it together, and anywhere we're going, that's beautiful. To go together.
Wow, oh my goodness, that is
she really, can't stop really, smiling.
That is incredible.
The ultimate team. Can I ask Mr. Green a question? Mr. Green, how does it feel to have your wife love you, quote unquote, unconditionally? Because conditions have changed. How does that make you feel?
Oh my God. Marsha, that's $1,000 question, please. Well, what happened? She is true to herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's true to herself. And I tell you, whenever I do something and it may not up standard, then she would took me aside and say, look, you should do this and you should do that. And then I get into my rhythm and do the right thing or do what I supposed to do. So most likely when I'm around her, I tell you something, I just feel on top of the world.
Wow.
Miss Green, question. Are you bossing this man around because he can't see you? Are you bossing? I got a feeling that you can't fix anything now. I know you're doing stuff with this man. And you don't know what you're doing. And you're smiling. You know what?
Well, he's happy anyway.
I'm
he's happy with it. But I have to ask a question. I'd like to ask a question. Sorry. Go ahead.
She's so lovely. Oh, boy. Wow.
Yes.
Amazing.
I would. Yes,
oh, you want to ask a question?
Yes, I'd like to just to the panel. And but before, let me go to LB Creative Designs. He asked a question a minute ago. Can authentic change? I believe so. Well, it's so odd because for me, I just feel like even in a lie, you're speaking some kind of your own truth, right? Because in that moment, you're still saying what you're saying or doing, right? But if you're being, I do believe that there are times when you may be in a situation where you're not really saying what you're feeling, what you're truly feeling. And it's in that moment. And then you can go back to being, because for example, if someone has a gun to my head, right? And I'm not necessarily going to say or think or even do exactly what I'm feeling in that moment. I'm going to be acting in a way that preserves my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think circumstances and situations sometimes, but even in that moment, you're truly being what you're feeling. It's just how I see it. You know what I mean? It's just how I see it. When are you really not being yourself? If I turn up a liar, I'm just being a liar. Whether or not I own that I'm being a liar, is a different matter, but what you see and what you hear coming out of me is what it is. But the question I wanted to ask is, it's all good and it's all nice when, and man, I love, thank you for the show because I've met a lot. This show has brought on a lot of couples that really for me has changed how I see marriage. Because we experience out in the world so many negative experiences of it and not get a chance to see the positive ones. And so I want to commend you for the show because I've seen, man, the couples, even the couples tonight, the couples that you bring on sometimes really make me sit and like, where am I in this world? Like, I'm disconnected, you know, like I need to get to the place where these people are. But you do have some people who feel, I've had the experience where I loved someone and I thought I could be myself. And then the experience I had, whether it was my conclusion or their actions or how I perceived their actions, made me so uncomfortable that I don't know that I could ever be comfortable
with that person, no matter what happens, right? Because I just feel like this person don't really like who I am, what I look like, how I am, doesn't really like who I am, no matter what he says to me. And he says the opposite, but I just can't feel it. Because of what I felt was just a misrepresentation of, or my misunderstanding of who he was in the beginning, right? So there are some persons who feel stuck in, I can't really be myself, especially when we're talking about two quote unquote, two celebrities when you started the show, who have this public life. And when they sell the story, even if it's not true, sometimes it's hard to pedal backpedal, mm-hmm. right? To go back yeah. to what is true because people are looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to such a person if they're listening, feeling stuck in this, I don't know that I could be myself? And sometimes insecurities, personal insecurities, right? Mm-hmm. And that's often the case, you know? But nevertheless, they are stuck there. What do you say to that person when they're in a marriage, feeling insecure, not being themselves, but they're stuck there? What would you say to such a person?
You asked if authenticity can change.
And, yes.
And I agree with you that it can, because my response to hurt or misunderstanding or, you know, just seeing some quote-unquote flaw in my spouse can cause me to make a decision that I'm not going to be myself. So my response to her
That's interesting.
However, experience also teaches, for example, that a soft answer turneth away wrath. That's a very when I learn to rest in giving a soft answer and not care whether or not the other person changes immediately or something, I'm just comfortable trusting that a soft answer is the most effective way to improve and keep my relationship. Then I think that helps.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to somebody that's hurting and in an alley somewhere emotionally, experience teaches also that if you keep on loving in spite of being mistreated or whatever, you keep coming back with love. Love heals itself. So you will heal and heal and free. So the other person now, they have to decide if they're going to be miserable. But if you have learned the art of living to grieve, then sometimes it provokes the other person to say, why am I being miserable? I'm the only one being miserable around here.
I love that. I really love that. Thank you. I love that. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I love that.
Miss Green?
And that has been me sometimes. So I know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Me,
yes.
Cool, enjoying herself and enjoying life.
Wow.
And enjoying me inside of my miserableness.
Yeah.
That is authenticity and honesty.
I'm not going to stay here looking all sour.
Miss Green.
I really do.
Miss Green, tell me something, wow. Miss Green. Now, you know, there are people who use the word, being authentic for not changing. All right? They say, well, that's where I am. So a lot of people, they're very lazy. They want to change their behavior. They say, well, I'm just being real. I'm just keeping it real. You know, and they drive me crazy every single day. You know, night and day. You know? I'm just being real. I'm keeping it real. And I'm dying here. So how do you address that? Where does the... Yeah. But it's been real and killing me.
I'm not going to stay miserable with you. And maybe that is what causes my divorce, because I will not stay with nobody that is so miserable, because I want my life to be happy. Now, I remember before my husband got blind, he used to run home home. He never stopped to buy something. Sometimes I say, why couldn't you buy that? And he wants to come home to me. Because he said, when he comes home, he's happy. He's not coming home to a miserable home. And I try to make him not to be, I don't molest him about something. When he comes in the evening, I would say, whether at something hot or cold, I approach him with that. Then later, whatever it is, we can talk about it. I don't like to be miserable, so I don't like people around to be miserable. And the gentleman said something about busting him, my husband around. I know he doesn't really mean it, but guess what?
Yes.
It's my husband, and guess what?
You do it if
I have to boss him around. It's my husband. It's my man.
What you know?
It's my man. Yes, I'm gonna boss him around for me.
All right now, Miss Green. I knew it. I saw the fire. I know it. I know.
I love that. Beautiful.
Wow. I do it in a good. Yes, I'll do it in a good way. That at the end of the day, both of us is happy. Yes, there and of course, sometimes we, you know, we will come, you know, argue about something. You don't do it right, or you don't do it whatever. You, but at the end of the day, we will conclude his side. It works out well, and we are happy about it.
Nice, I love it, love it, I love it.
Marsha, where do you get these couples?
Oh, wow.
You know, I was just about to share with you why I reached out to this couple. I remember. I was in Otrius one day, and at the time, I think I was dating at the time, and I had like so many questions about genuine relationships. And God would have it that I walked into the park in Otrius, and I saw this couple with one ice cream.
Oh man!
And both of them were at it with the one ice cream.
Wow!
And I stopped and I looked and I was like,
Jesus, Marsha.
Yeah, they were so
somebody's watching you.
Even later on, observing them in at different places and so on, I never told them, you know, like how much I really, because I knew Mrs. Green before she got married to Mr. Green.
Okay.
And I really felt so honored to reach how God kind of transitioned and the difference between the two loves.
Wow. Yeah.
You know? And when we were discussing this topic as a team, I said, you know what? I think I have a couple that I would want. Because it's, for me, it is so genuine. Whether they're at church or they're in public or not.
Wow.
For me, it's very rare when you find a couple that no matter the seasons, they're still there for each other.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I found it so interesting. I said, you know what, it's nice because a lot of times we look at the couples that don't work, not authentic, don't work, and even at one point, I can honestly admit that I second guess wanting to get married because I my focus was wrong. I was focusing on all the relationships that did not work and became afraid. But then, when God would have it that He shifted my attention, I was like, you know what? Let's start to focus. And the same thing for Mr. and Mrs. Norman. And I see various spaces and they are public figures, right?
Yeah.
So, based on even the whole point of what LTR is about. Just being genuine and being real and authentic. Because we see it, you know, but sometimes we don't know how to define it or even if it is that authenticity changes, moving from not being authentic into authentic. A person might be watching right now and they're saying, how do I do that? Like, how do I free myself of not being authentic into being authentic? With that being said, I want to ask, because I know that Mr. and Mrs. Norman, they are also marriage counselors. Have you ever come across a couple where, you know, based on your experience, you were like, this couple is not being authentic? Or have they ever confessed to say, you know what, I want to be more. We want to be more than where we are. What, have you ever had an experience like that?
Yes, all of the above. there's one that I'm we had couple years ago, not too long ago, where we were counseling both of them. They came to us saying that they wanted to get married by, you know, probably a year or so, a couple months. And after about 6 or 7 sessions, they both came to the conclusion that, we're not supposed to do this.
Wow.
And the male got married about 4 months after to someone else.
Wow.
And the female, somebody had been actually watching her, didn't know what she was about or anything. And within 3 months, proposed to her. And she's happily married now. So, yeah. And there's always room for growth. I think, I don't know, if I may add a little bit to what Mrs. Green said a while ago. Bossy and assertive might be, some people might think that being assertive is being bossy. And I'd much rather someone express themselves, my wife express herself, you know, she really feel it, even if it don't come across all that 100, but what is really bothering her, than to hide what she's really feeling, and then I'm dealing with person X and she's really person Y.
Wow.
Great
this
point,
is really emotional point. For me, because I feel like I was in a relationship for 4 years and I was never myself. I was never myself. I didn't talk. I don't even know who I was. And after that, really, to get out of that relationship, I remember I went through 1 year of depression, just terrible depression. And I remember I said to myself, I would never just get involved in a relationship again. And I remember I thought that God was telling me that a particular person was it. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to be myself this time. I'm going to be me. I'm going to be myself. And
yes, be you for you, right?
And I felt so picked apart. And I'm saying this because, sorry. I don't know. This is really, I felt so picked apart, you know? I felt like that person couldn't see any good in me. And even when I was doing my best, it was,
right,
I was just being picked apart. That's how I felt anyway.
Yeah.
And there are people who feel that way. And Marsha, I'm at that place where you were. I am terrified of marriage, terrified of even thinking of it. To the degree that I'm comfortable now, I don't want any kids. I know I'm so terrified of it. I don't even know that I want it, to be honest. And I have to say thanks to Keith, because though he didn't know, working together with you is what drew me out of a hole that I'd gone in. Because when you grew up the way I did, I had to fight your way through. And Mr. Norman said something a while ago. Sorry. You know, he said, I'd rather for it to come out that way than for her not to come out with it at all. And I think sometimes, I think sometimes women are crying out. And instead of seeing their tears and that they're crying and they're in pain and they're in fear, instead of seeing that the men who should love them pick them apart, you know, and tear them down. And I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, you know, it is very it's a very important thing that we talk. And I like what you said earlier, Norman, and even the Greens, that the conversation that you have, you don't run away from it. You have the conversation. You talk, and you get to hear what's in the person's heart, what's in their mind. You know, we're in a very cold world. And like I said earlier, when I grew up, I didn't hear a lot of lovely words and you can do it and, you know, proud of you. I didn't hear those things, not even in the community. You know, I didn't hear much of that or any of that at all.
Mm.
And so sometimes when we have some trauma in our lives and we become adults, we have other adults sometimes even crystallize the pain, even kind of they almost put flame and fuel to that fire, you know. So it is with, I would say, because of God's grace. Sometimes mm-hmm. while we hear, and while we can rebound, because the pain sometimes the hurt is so bad that you wonder, can I even be real? Because will I get will I be misjudged? Will I get stomped on?
Yeah.
You know, will I be misunderstood? And those are not great things to live through, you know?
And the worst thing with my experience is that...
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, she's speaking. Go ahead.
Yes, Ms. Green?
I think she's speaking to her husband.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's worse.
I'm sorry. I was saying. Yeah, I was
saying... Ms. Green. Yes, go ahead, Ms. Green. Go ahead.
I was saying that... Authentic for me too can be 100% degree, because why I'm saying that is that I was saying that authentic can be 100% degree for me, because sometimes I don't remember that my husband is blind. That's the way I feel about him, and I don't like when people feel sorry for him, like when we are going out and somebody would know that he's blind, and they would say, oh, look, he's going that, and he can't do that, and he can't do that. I don't love people telling me what my husband can't do. I know what my husband can do. My husband does not hold back with his love for me.
Mm-hmm.
If my husband sit down somewhere, he loves when I come and sit with him and put my foot across him. Wow. He loves these things. He's so loving and caring, even without eyes. And you know, so the authentic for me can be extreme. It's extreme for me because I feel what I am feeling in my house, on the road or anywhere. And I loved I felt the care and love that my husband gave to me. And so it helps me to grow. Even when I'm called up to do something at church, and I said, honey, I can't do it, he would say, you can do it. Mm-hmm. And go ahead and do it. And if I if I happen to give the word of church, he would come to me and said, he would tell me my shortcomings in the meeting, and he would tell me, you know, he would say, you know, that was good, or there was a shortcoming in that part, whatever. So I don't remember that my husband is blind. For me, I don't remember that he's blind. I don't want nobody to remind me, like, you know, he can't do this or he can't do that. I know what my husband is capable of doing. And I push my husband to do something. I don't allow him, because of his blind eye, to sit down and sorry for you, feel sorry for himself, and feel like there is no hope. There is hope. There is hope. And as long as I'm here and I'm with God, there is hope.
And I'd just like to share that from my experience, and I want to say this to anyone who feel, if you're in a relationship like I was, and you feel like you just can't be yourself because it's going to create something for somebody else. I remember that person who, when I felt like I was being myself, I felt like I was being picked apart. Every single day in 2020, I prayed for this person. It was one of the, I sometimes was like, really, God, like, really, seriously. Like, I rebelled. I had to ask for forgiveness. I did not want to pray for him, you know, and over time, I realized that it wasn't even so much me, but when someone is in their own insecurity, like I said, Keith, when you crystallize all of those, they become that victim. And you're sitting in that victimhood, and you're tearing yourself apart, then why wouldn't you tear the other person apart? Mm-hmm. You know, you're already tearing you apart. You're questioning you. You see yourself as not good enough. Then how could you possibly? So if you're in that, and even the person who I dated, we now speak and have that conversation. And I have now been honest with him, like, this is how I felt. I wasn't myself, you know, and it's weird because I feel like he liked the person I am now than I was then, you know. But I'm saying this for the person who might be there where I was.
Yes.
I don't even know if it's for me to tell you to get out of it. What I can tell you is you may not be able to connect the dots moving forward, but you're going to be able to connect the dots moving when you're looking backwards, because God does nothing by accident.
Yeah.
Even when you cannot understand it, he's bringing you through something to build you for something.
Yeah.
So I just want you to know that now I am so free. I do, if I want to cry, I cry. If I want to shout, I shout.
Yeah.
Because God made me beautiful. God made me worthy. I am worth it, even if it makes you uncomfortable. I am worth it. You are worth it. I don't care where you are, what you're doing. You are worth being you, because God divinely designed
you. That's right.
Divinely designed you. No mistake.
Yeah.
Make no mistakes.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because as you say that, I play the saxophone, right? And I play many different events in here in New York. Weddings, anniversaries, you name it, parties, children's program, churches. And for many years, I felt insecure. And I know guys who can play. I mean, they live, eat, and breathe the saxophone. That's all they do. I mean, when they blow, it's like, it's amazing. Now, I'm a dad, a family man. I work. I have a business. So I don't put as much time into the craft. But I play. Oftentimes when I play at these events, I'm hearing, oh, my gosh, Mr. Mack, you're like one with the sax. I'm like, really? I don't know what they're hearing. I don't know what they're feeling. Because I'm thinking in my mind, I need to be in this thing like 4 or 5 hours a day for it to really make sense. Right? But when I play the saxophone, they're like, I don't understand. But it's like, man, it's, wow, you know, how long have you been playing? And all these different things. So it dawned on me one day that at the end of the day, you know, the way God make each of us with a separate fingerprint, our own DNA, our own identity, seem like whenever I blow that sax, it's just me. Nobody else in the universe can blow it the way I blow it.
Like you.
I'm different. My demeanor, whether it's my way I move or whatever it is that they see, I don't see, apparently works. So I've learned to live and say, you know what? It is what it is. I think I'm happy with the way it is. I'm happy that folks are enjoying it. And that's the idea. So I stopped comparing myself with other people who can really, really play, you know, at different high levels.
In your mind, we can really, really play.
And just be me. And I like what Coach Rico said. And so I've had to learn that in my adulthood. So even as we get older, we can still learn.
Yeah, and you know the interesting thing, Pete?
Still grow.
It's all just knowledge, because guess what happened?
Yeah.
What I've grown to understand, and what I'm telling you, I thank you, God, for every pain, every strain, everything you brought me through, because I wouldn't have appreciated the value of things had I not understood or gone through the devaluing of things, you know?
Mm.
This is it. It's all knowledge, right? So I know this note, and this is what I've known this note to be. And I hear you singing something else, and I'm thinking, you cannot sing. Who are you to tell me that I'm not singing something in the future that you don't get now?
Oh, my goodness.
The time we're busy critiquing each other, if we could just stop. If we could just stop and say, let me see the value in this one.
There you go.
Let me just see the value in your eyes, the value in the way you smile.
If
we would have so much, there would be so much abundance.
Yeah.
When you critique me, you lose.
Yes.
When
yes.
you value me, you win.
You win every time.
Yes.
Awesome. This has been a wonderful discussion. And if you're just joining us, you are inside Let's Talk Relationships on UME Radio. And we are looking at authentic relationships. What do they look like for real? It has been a very stimulating conversation. Definitely this week was a tearjerker at some points. And so we are winding down to the final moments of this conversation.
Yes.
I'm going to go around the virtual table, and I would like each person on the panel to just encourage someone who is trying to learn how to be authentic, whether it's in their relationship, in their marriage, in their friendships, at work. What would you say to them? And I'm going to start with garments.
Yes, I would say, you know, none of us are going to escape appraisal relationships.
I like that.
Whether it be at work or wherever. And just like Greens just said, there has to be times that but I think we just need to have an understanding where we talk about areas that we need to grow up in, you know. So we need to be real about that, you know, how my spouse can improve, how I can improve. But I just think we the coach is saying that we don't need to just be picking each other apart all the time. But it's still good to have, you know, set times where we discuss ways in which we can grow.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would say that the best version of you is one that is found in God. You see, sex, marriage, family, home, everything is really his idea. He has a plan for our lives. And when we acknowledge him, he will take us through painful situations, but at the end of it, we will come out loving. Submit to his will and his word. And I see that one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in marriage is that it's two becoming one flesh. And my weaknesses, he should own them. I should own his weaknesses. And that is one of the things that has kept. There are some things that Andrew cannot do well. And I just realized that is my weakness. When I take it on, it completes us. And there are times I see him pick up for me, and I know he's taking my weakness. Instead of being offended by it, he's actually seeing it as that part that God put us together for him to supply. And so I challenge the couples everywhere, inside of all relationships, surrender your life 100% to Christ, and that is where you find peace, that's where you find contentment, that's where you find him working in you, that love that you need to be able. Because everything you go through in life is a love test. These love tests, they will come.
Everything in life is a love test.
But guess what? He says that we are complete only in him.
All right.
Everything in life is a love test.
Wow.
It's a love test. Yeah, everything in life is a love test.
Awesome.
I like that.
Love it.
Okay. Okay, I would say that in a relationship, you have to remember that two different people from different background. And so the two different people are going to come together, and whatever one would want for themselves, they would give it to the other. If you want the good for yourself, which it's always supposed to be good, so you give the good to your husband, or your husband give the good to you. And remember now, the Bible says you become as one. And you don't want to hurt your flesh. You don't want to cut yourself with a knife, because your husband is you. If you cut your husband, you're going to cut yourself. And if you cut your wife, you're going to cut yourself. So you got to stay and impart God's word and just live together in harmony.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Anything to add, Mr. Green?
Yes. Yes. But I said, you put God first in everything you're doing.
Yes.
As my wife said, two different people from two different backgrounds. And we all know that men wired different from women.
Yes.
And as long as you choose to yourself, then the best will come out of you. Because whenever you started to run around, then at some point in time, the truth gonna reveal.
Awful.
Wow.
Thank
you.
And that's my part. Look at
that. Thank you, Mr. Awful. Green. Coach.
Wow. Everything in life is a love test. I love that. I love that. Mr. Norman said, you know, love it, love the person through it. Just love, even if they're behaving in a way that's not what you're desiring of, just love them through it. Eventually you'll get there. There was one, I don't remember the speaker, who said, we are all flawed,
We all have our issues. Some people are just better at hiding it. Mm. I don't want to be good at hiding it anymore. Yeah. Right? Because like Mr. Green said, if the truth will come anyway, it's going to come out anyway. But everything in life is a love test. Mm. Mrs. Norman said that. Thank you for that. I'm leaving with that. Okay. That's what I'm leaving with.
Thank you. DJ KTE. Yes.
Hey, what can I say? This was a fabulous show. I really appreciate you folks for being here. It's a complete honor for me to actually talk with you guys. What I'm hearing tonight, I'm hearing such a nice spectrum. I'm hearing two folks who have been trained and you've gone to certain roads as far as your craft and what you do now, your careers. And I've heard two folks who took a whole different road, different pathways. But I hear one theme, and it's love, right? So I think love really, like the Bible says, when tongues will cease and prophecy will cease and all the things will cease, love remains. And so I'm seeing that chord around this camera tonight, this video, and these smiles and these really genuine, authentic people. I feel like I know already. My goodness, it's scary. But it's a good scary. But yes. I enjoyed tonight, and I feel very honored to have you guys with us. And maybe it can be a part two coming up next. You never know. But I think this topic is great. Authenticity, of course, there's a level of risk involved, but that's what it is. You must take risk and, you know, to be hurt and suffer pain is part of life.
Trust the process.
And trust the process. We're going to get better, not bitter. And again... Love test. Yeah. I like that too. I love it.
Everything in life is a love test.
I like that. Yes.
Cemented on my heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it.
Definitely happy to have you guys here.
Yes.
And with that being said, it was my distinct pleasure being the host to fill in for Lady Misty tonight. And great I really job. Trust that you would have been able to identify what an authentic relationship looks like if you have not yet experienced it, that you would be the change that you want to see. We want to say a big thank you to all our partners and sponsors, supporters, listeners, viewers. If you left a comment, drop hashtag LTR. Save if you need advice or answers to your questions to help you grow in your relationship. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, you can email us at ltransers@gmail.com. If we did not get around to your comment, please don't charge it to our hearts, charge it to our heads. We're going to do our best to go through. And if there's anything we need to answer, we will do that. All right. So please come back next week because we want to hear what you have to say. It is our hope that this program was a support to you tonight to help you to have a strong, healthy, amazing relationship. Cheers to love and happiness. Thank you for joining us on Let's Talk Relationships. See you next week.
Yes, y'all. Take it easy. DJ KT here. See you next.
Let's Talk
Relationships. On You Me Radio.
Bye-bye.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business.
And love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty.
And DJ KTE.
On everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
UME Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7.
Subscribe on YouTube and click the notification bell.